Welcome to our program. Now, the title of today's message is Christ Our Able High Priest. I'm going to be preaching from Hebrews chapter 7. The message will actually begin in verse 17, but I want to just say something about verse 16. This issue here, Christ Our Able High Priest, goes to the very heart of the gospel. In order for us to be assured of our salvation, in order for us to have any real godly assurance, not just presumption now, but real assurance, we must be assured that whoever our salvation is conditioned on, whoever's responsible for it, is able to save us. For example, if you believe that salvation is conditioned on what you do, then you need confidence in what you do. You have to know that you're able. Now, that's a bad assurance. That's presumptions what that is, because the gospel is not salvation conditioned on me and what I do for God. I can't have, Paul wrote it this way. He said, we rejoice in Christ. That means our confidence is in Christ, Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. I don't have any confidence in my abilities or my works or my goodness. I have none. I'm a sinner. We have only one hope of salvation, and that is to fall at the feet of Christ and beg for mercy. And we sing that hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." My assurance, my hope is not in my ability, but in Christ's ability, and He is able. Now, he mentions Melchizedek here in verse 17, "For he testifieth." What he's talking about here is that Moses, in the Old Testament, back in Genesis 14, he wrote and testified of a man named Melchizedek, and David in Psalm 110, he mentions Melchizedek, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, last week, I went into detail in the first 16 verses of this chapter about Melchizedek, who is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, his priesthood. Melchizedek was king of Salem, king of peace. His name, Melchizedek, means king of righteousness. And Christ is our peace. He is our righteousness to everyone who's come to him, to every believer. And Melchizedek had no recorded genealogy, no pedigree, no recorded mother or father. It's not necessary that he didn't have a mother and father. We just don't know who they are or who they were. No birthday, no death day. None of that's recorded, because his priesthood typifies the priesthood of Christ, which is forever and ever, Christ our eternal priest. If you want to know more about Melchizedek, I urge you to get last week's message on Christ, our eternal high priest. But here in verse 17 of chapter 7, he continues on with the subject of Christ's priesthood. And the thought that I want to bring to our attention today is Christ, our able high priest. He is able. Now, back in verse 16, he says that Christ is made a priest, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. That's eternity, and that's power. Christ was not made a high priest according to the carnal, earthly, fleshly commandment under the law of Moses, like the tribe of Levi, that had a beginning, had an end. But his priesthood is forever. And his priesthood is after the power of an endless life. So he says, he testified, verse 17, "Thou art a priest forever, forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now look at verse 18. He says, "For there is verily," or truly, "a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof." Now what he's saying is there's an abolishment of the law of Moses, the old covenant, and its priesthood, because it was weak and unprofitable in this sense alone. It could not give life. It could not bring forth righteousness. It could not save the sinner from his sins. It could not bring about eternal forgiveness. The law, John, the apostle, wrote that in John 1 and verse 17. He said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, the law of Moses could show them their sinfulness and their guilt and their depravity and their lostness, but it could not provide the remedy. Only Christ could do that. The law could show them what righteousness is, but it could not give them righteousness. It could not make them righteous. You see what I'm saying? The law could not give eternal life. That's the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. The law was good for its purpose. Its purpose, its main purpose, was to expose their sin and to drive them to Christ for righteousness and life, eternal life. But it is abolished now. It's done away. He says in verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. The law did not save any sinner. The law could not make a sinner perfect or complete or eternally saved. It made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Now, what is the bringing in of that better hope? It's Christ and Him crucified. It's Christ. It's His blood to forgive us of all our sins. It's His righteousness to justify us before God. It's all that He accomplished on behalf of His people. He is our hope. You see, what did I say in that hymn? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He is our hope. What is that hope? It's the certain expectation of eternal life and glory in Christ. And it's by Him that we draw nigh unto God. Sinners draw near to God, into the very holiest of all, the very presence of God, by the blood of Christ. So the law could not do that. Animal blood could not do that. For the blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sin. But the blood of Christ did. So the law is abolished. The old covenant system, all of that is abolished by way of fulfillment, the bringing in of a better hope by which all who believe in Christ draw nigh unto God. And verse 20, he says, and inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. Now, what he's talking about is the priesthood of Christ. And Christ was made a priest, but not without an oath. Now, several chapters ago, I talked about the oath of God. What is an oath? Well, you know what it means to swear an oath. Back in the old days, when people struck an agreement, they didn't have to have as many contracts and written contracts done with lawyers and small print as we do today, but they bonded with their word. They made a promise, and a man's bond was his word. And they would swear oaths. Now, what would they do when they'd swear an oath? They would swear by something greater than themselves. And that was an end of all strife, debate, and argument. The deal was sealed. A man was a man of his word. And if he wasn't, he was known to be a liar. And nobody ever struck an agreement with him again. Well, God, when He made Christ priest, He swore an oath. But God could not swear by anything greater than Himself, because there's nothing greater than God. So what did He swear by? He swore by Himself. Now, that's what the Scripture says. He interposed Himself. So, in other words, God swore and engaged by oath Himself. Everything that He is, He put all of His power behind the promise of salvation in Christ. He put all of His love, all of His mercy, all of His grace, all of His justice, everything that God is in His very nature, is engaged on behalf of sinners who come to Him through the promise of salvation by Christ. So Christ was made a high priest with an oath, the oath of God. But now look at verse 21. He says, for those priests were made without an oath. Those old covenant priests, they were made priests, but without an oath. You see, they were made priests simply by a carnal commandment, not by an oath. In other words, God never put himself and engaged himself completely behind that priesthood so that it would last forever. You see, they were made priests after a carnal commandment, not like Christ. He was made priest not after a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. So God didn't swear an oath and engage himself behind that old covenant priesthood. Why? Because it could never bring about eternal salvation. It was never intended to last forever. So he goes on in verse 21, for those priests were made without an oath, but this, Christ's priesthood, with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. The Lord swore an oath on this, and he will not change. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So what we see there is that old covenant is abolished. It did not have the ability to save sinners from their sins. It had the ability to set aside that nation in a civil, ceremonial way, temporarily, but it could not bring about eternal life. But Christ is able. He is our able high priest. He has the power of an endless life. He has the power of resurrection behind him. He has the power of eternal life. He engaged himself to save his people from their sins. So in verse 22, he says, by so much, that is, by that oath, was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, a better covenant. Christ is the surety. He is the guarantee of a better covenant, a covenant that will not fail. And it will not fail because it's not conditioned on sinners. You see, that old covenant had many conditional promises in it towards sinners. And God, and later on, God's going to show that they broke that covenant. That covenant was broken. But now this new covenant, this eternal covenant, is not conditioned on sinners. It's conditioned on Christ. Therefore, he's able, he's the guarantee, the surety of a better covenant. It's a better covenant because it has better promises. It's not the promise of an earthly land, but it's the promise of a heavenly land, heavenly life, eternal life. It's not the promise of temporal deliverances from enemies. It's the promise of eternal deliverance from all our enemies, from sin, from Satan, from the curse of the law. It's a better covenant. And it's in Christ. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. They're sure and certain. He's our surety. You see, if you believe that salvation is based on what you do for God, if you believe that salvation, that being saved or being kept saved, is conditioned on what you do for God, then you have to become your own surety. And you can never sin. You see, that's why salvation is in Christ. He's the surety of the believer. And him being our surety, then we have to be convinced that he's able to do what he set out to do. Well, in verse 23, he says, and they truly were many priests. Under the old covenant, there were many priests because they were not suffered or allowed to continue by reason of death. Those high priests, they were men, they were born, they lived, they died. And they were not allowed to continue in their priesthood because of death. When they died, somebody else took their place. But, verse 24, this man, Jesus Christ, our surety, because he continueth forever. He continueth ever. Now, this is part of his ability, you see. He doesn't die and stay dead. He did die because of the sins of his sheep. He said, I laid down my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ came into the world to save his people from their sins by his own death. That by means of death, you see, he should give us all that he accomplished. But he didn't stay dead. You see, the grave couldn't hold him. God wouldn't allow His holy ones to suffer corruption because His death was an accomplishment. His death was a satisfaction to God's law and justice for the sins of His people. His death was the establishment of righteousness that demands life. His death enabled God to be just and justify the ungodly. You see, so this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now, does he have the ability to be our great high priest? Yes, he does. Why? Well, because God swore an oath. Everything that God is in His very nature is engaged in the person and work of Christ to save His people from their sins. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. Secondly, because He continueth ever. He continueth ever. He died, but He was buried, and He arose again the third day. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for His people. His priesthood continues forever, and His priesthood is unchangeable. You see, there was a change in that old covenant priesthood. He talked about that over in verse 12 of chapter 7. For the priesthood being changed. Well, that changed. There was a time of reformation, he says in Hebrews chapter 9. A time of change. When did it change? Well, it changed in many ways. It changed down through the ages because there was a high priest and he died and then there was another. But it changed permanently when Christ came into the world and did His work of redemption for His people. When Christ obtained redemption, when He purged the sins of His people by burying them on the cross, and when He brought in everlasting righteousness, that old priesthood changed forever. It was abolished. It's never to be brought in again. We'll never see, under God's command, another high priest on this earth. Christ is our one high priest. And He's all we need. If we have Him, we have all. Because He is all. If we have Him, we have everything. Because He is everything. And His priesthood will not change. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now look at verse 25. Now here's the mainstay of this. Wherefore? For this reason, because of God's oath, because of His continuance, because of His immutability, He will not change. For this reason, wherefore, He is able. He is able. Now that's our hope. If you know Christ, if you have any assurance of salvation, here's the key. He is able. Well, what is He able to do? It says He is able to save. Christ is able to save. He's able to save sinners from their sins. Sin demands death. And if I don't have a substitute who's able to save me from those sins, sin will make an end of me. It will finish me off, and that means death. I can't fight sin myself. I can't have victory over sin. I hear these preachers talking about having victory over sin. My victory over sin is Christ. He's able. He's able to save me from my sins. He's able to save me from the curse of the law. My friend, without Christ, without His blood and righteousness, the law can only curse me. And that based upon my best efforts to keep it. Without Christ, I have no hope. Satan is my great enemy. He's my accuser. Without Christ, his accusations will meet their mark right here. Because I'm guilty. But with Christ, He turns back the arrows of Satan's accusations. And He stands in my place as my advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for all my sins. So He is able to save sinners. And how? What kind of salvation? How much is He able? Well, it says He's able to save also, to save them to the uttermost. To the uttermost. That's evermore. This is not a temporary salvation. This is not a salvation that you can have one day and lose the next. This is a salvation to the uttermost. This is complete salvation. This is evermore salvation. Well, how can you say that, preacher? Because you're, you know, one day you're up, one day you're down, one day you feel good, one day you feel bad. Well, you see, he's able. You understand that? I'm not able. You're not able. But Christ is able. I'm not able to have any wisdom from God, but Christ is able. He is my wisdom. I'm not able to produce the righteousness that God requires, but Christ is able, and He is my righteousness. I'm not able to produce the holiness that God requires, but Christ is able, and He is my holiness. And I'm not able to pay any part of my sin debt, what I owe to God's law and justice for my sins, but Christ is able, and He is my redemption. He is my sin offering. Now, He's able also to save them to the uttermost. Now, who are these that He's talking about when He says them? He's able to save them. Who are the them in this verse? Well, He says, them that come unto God by Him. And you say, I'm going to go to God. I want to get to God. Or sinners are coming to God. How are you coming to God? It says He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. You see, Christ said it this way in John 14 and verse 6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you seeking God? Are you trying to come to God? Well, how? By whom? Upon what ground and basis are you seeking to come to God? If it's any way but Christ and Him alone, Christ and Him crucified, you cannot be saved to the uttermost. You see, you're on your own then, and you're not able. And it cannot be Christ plus anything. It cannot be Christ plus your works. It cannot be Christ plus your pedigree. It cannot be Christ plus your tears or anything. Oh, we cry over sin, but that's not what brings us to God. Christ does. Him alone. So we come unto God by Him. We come unto God pleading for forgiveness by His blood. We come unto God pleading for justification by His righteousness. We come unto God through Christ, our high priest. He's our able high priest. So He says, seeing He ever, verse 25, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know, that's a sobering thought there. Back over in Romans chapter 8, this intercession, what does that mean? Christ is my intercessor. Well, we've talked about Christ, our high priest. We've talked about Christ, our mediator. Christ, our intercessor, is the same thing. He intercedes. He stands in between God and sinners, pleading the merits of His blood and righteousness, His work, Himself, as our only foundation and ground of eternal life. And that is so powerful. He says here in verse 31 of Romans 8, He says, what shall we then say to these things? Now, these things refer to God's sovereign grace. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son. If Christ died for me, God spared not His own Son for me, and God cannot be against us. But delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That's how able Christ is. In Him we have all things freely given. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see, having purged our sins, he's seated at the right hand of God, interceding for his people as our advocate. Now, back in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, now he says in verse 6, now this is what we need. Christ is what we need. For such an high priest became us, was fitting to us. I needed a sin bearer. He's my sin bearer. I need righteousness. He's my righteousness. I need holiness. He's my holiness. I need redemption. He's my redemption. And he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I need one who is greater than me, who in himself is sinless, but who can take my sins. Verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests under the old covenant to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Christ had no sins, but he offered himself up for my sins, for the sins of his people, and he did it one time, not many times. One time was enough. Why? Because he's able. He's our able high priest. Verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. The law of Moses appointed high priest under that system men who were weak, men who had infirmities, men who had sins themselves, men who died. You see that? That's the kind of high priest that the law made. That's not the kind of high priest that we need, because they're not able to save us to the uttermost. They're not able to produce what we need. They're not able to shed blood that would forgive us of sins eternally. They're not able to complete the righteousness that God requires. But he says, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated or perfected forevermore. The word of the oath. What is the word of the oath? It's the gospel. It's the word of promise, the word of salvation, the power of God unto salvation, in which God engaged everything that he is in the fulfillment of that promise of eternal life through Christ, who is able. And it made him the Son of God, the high priest, who is perfected. He finished the work, and he did it forevermore. We don't need another high priest. We don't need to look to any man on earth. We don't need to look to ourselves. We have need to look to one, Jesus Christ righteous. Look at that verse again, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is able. My friend, do you count your salvation, or do you ground your salvation upon your abilities, what God's enabled you to do, or what Christ alone, by himself, as the great high priest, the substitute, has done? Is it based on your ability or his ability? Christ is our able high priest.